Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the blessed opportunity we have to come to this Thy house to worship Thee. And we pray, O Lord, that Thy Spirit might be with us, that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth, in the preaching and hearing of Thy Word. Bless Thy servant to preach Thy Word, Thy people to hear and understand, and all of us to use it in our everyday lives to honor and to glorify Thee. This we ask, together with the forgiveness of our sins, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17 and verses 20 and 21. Again, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17 and verses 20 and 21. And these two verses read, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Now in these two verses of Scripture, we find that the Pharisees demanded him to tell them when the kingdom of God would come. Now, I think that tells you something about the Pharisees. That they demanded the one who had authority, they demanded the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, thinking him as no different from any other man. They demanded him that he would give them an answer to the question that they had. But Jesus told them that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. And but in fact, Jesus told them Jesus told them when, they could have said that they did not see it. In fact, they did not. And this was a time that came in a very special way. And I think that's what this context is all about. Now, let me say concerning that particular time, the kingdom of God was then. And when John the Baptist came preaching, he came, as a forerunner of Jesus Christ, he came preaching saying, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, they're one in the same. Alright, and then when Jesus came preaching, the main message that he preached was, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. He wasn't saying by that it's just close by or it's going to be here soon. I think he was saying that it's at hand. It is here for my people, those born of the Spirit of God. It is here for them to enter therein. And that's what I think John the Baptist and Jesus Christ meant when they said or when they preached, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. So it was already there. It wasn't that it was coming. But there was a special manifestation in 70 AD of those Jews that remained faithful to Jesus Christ in spite of overwhelming opposition, threats of death, and many other things they experienced, that they were faithful and they experienced a tremendous, the greatest blessing of the kingdom of God than any other group of people ever experienced. And I think that was Jesus, one of the things that Jesus was teaching here in this particular passage of Scripture, that it came in a very special way. Now, people cannot say the kingdom is here or it's over there. They can't say that because we find in, I think, a beautiful expression about the kingdom of God is found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 4 and verse 15. Verse 14. The Gospel according to John, chapter 4 and verse 14. And notice what Jesus says here. He says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That is, the idea there, that water springing up into him, giving him the joys of everlasting life, or blessing him or her to experience the joys and rejoice in the blessings of his eternal life. It doesn't give eternal life. The eternal life is already already there. But one that has this, as Jesus taught in John 4:14, then that one experiences the joy of everlasting life. That as that water, the springing up in him and refreshing him in those things that he has. All right, and so that is where the kingdom of God is. It is something that is within us. One cannot see the kingdom of God in the sense that we see one another, not in that sense, but one can see the effects of the kingdom of God. We can see the effects of the kingdom of God. We can't see the kingdom within someone, let me express it that way, and yet at the same time we can see the effects of the kingdom of God in someone. Alright? What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Well, it's defined in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, that sounds, in many ways, it sounds rather simple. That's it. I'm sure when I came down here, and I'm sure that you've heard that once or twice, and whatever. I knew that before I felt led to preach this. I'm sure that, like I said, you've heard it at least once or twice, to put it mildly. But the fact is, that's what it is. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, it's called the kingdom of God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, we find these words. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost are the same as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Ghost, or God the Holy Spirit. Three members of the Godhead. Now, think about this. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I got it. Righteousness of God the Father, the peace of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and the joy in the Holy Ghost. Alright, I got that. Well, it's more than that. Think about it, friend. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in Him, referring to Jesus Christ, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, and so, the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Son, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwells within Jesus Christ. He is not the Trinity. He is not the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Of course, He's the Son. But He's not the Father and the Holy Ghost. But the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Son, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit represent, is found within the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. And so, what is this all about? What is this kingdom of God all about? It's about it's about the King. It's about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Jesus is called in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16. It's all about, it's not about the Father, or it's not about the Holy Ghost, but it's all about the King. It's all about Jesus Christ the Lord. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. And when we're blessed with the Holy Ghost to experience joy, the joy we find is in Jesus Christ the Lord. And so that's what the kingdom is all about. It's about the Father, it's about the Son, it's about the Holy Ghost, and yet at the same time, it's all about Jesus Christ the Lord. All right. Now, and in order to enter this kingdom, we must be born of the Spirit of God. To see this, turn with me to John chapter 3, and I want to read verses 3 through 7. John 3 and verses 3 through 7. And these verses read, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Now, I don't think Nicodemus was really trying to argue with Jesus about this. I believe he really wanted to know the truth. He wanted. Now, I think when everyone, any of us, if we didn't know any more than Nicodemus knew at this particular time, and if Jesus Himself were to tell us this, we'd want to know, well, how can this be? All right, and so, and He told him this. In verse 5 it says, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then He says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. Now here, I don't believe Jesus was telling Nicodemus that he needed to be born again. I think the very evidence that Nicodemus wanted to seek Jesus and wanted to hear the words of Jesus, wanted to hear the teaching of Jesus Christ, was evidence that he was born of the Spirit of God. It didn't make him be born of the Spirit of God, but it was the evidence that he was born of the Spirit of God. And he wanted to know spiritual knowledge from the best source of spiritual knowledge, and of course that is Jesus Christ the Lord. So he asked him these questions. And so what he's saying in this passage of Scripture is, listen, the fact is that in order to see the kingdom of God, as to enter into the kingdom of God, as we find here in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 3, that we must first of all, having been born of the Spirit of God. Alright, now the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is within us. Now, it's an amazing thing. I mentioned this to a gentleman a number of years ago, or some time ago, and happened to be, by the way, a Jehovah's Witness. And came to the house, and I invited him in, and they see that they're not going to get anywhere with me, then they don't come back. Not the same ones, anyway. They hardly ever come back. I found that from someone else that some of the rest of you knew. But that's something he did, and from then on, that I've done that, and they just don't come back. They know they're not going to get anywhere with me. But anyway, this brother, I'll call him a brother. If he has the Spirit of Jesus in him, whether he believes like we do or not, then he's a brother in the Lord. I just leave it that way. But he told me this while Jesus was speaking to Pharisees. While he was speaking to those that didn't believe in him, didn't believe he was the Son of God, but he says, the kingdom of God is within you. And I'm going to say one thing concerning that. If I want to know about any of my red blood cells, I could ask Jesus. Jesus could tell me. Now, and what I mean by that, Jesus knows what's within me. Jesus knew what was within those men also. Now, Jesus himself said, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, whether they repented of their non-belief or not, I don't know about that. I believe some Pharisees did. I believe some priests did. I know by what we find in the Scriptures in Acts chapter 2, there were some that said, let Jesus be crucified, and mocked him while he was there on the cross. Some of them were convicted in their heart, and they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may be those in this passage of Scripture, in Luke chapter 17, or some of them anyway, they repented of their unbelief, and they rejoiced in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ told them that the kingdom of God is within you. And so it was within them. Alright, now, I want to go somewhere else, but I'm coming right back. So bear with me, if you will. Alright, now, back in the latter part of October, Kath and I were blessed to go to Blue Ridge, Georgia. And we went to a place called Mercier's Apple House. And they've got apple trees all around that. Now, I don't have to guess. I'm pretty sure, considering where they are, that those are apple trees. If I didn't see Apple House or anything like that, knowing where they are around Blue Ridge and OJ and north, all across North Georgia, if I see an orchard, I pretty well know it's an apple orchard. All right, if I go to Middle Georgia, Montezuma, Fort Valley, that area there, if I see an orchard, I know pretty much, because I know enough about the state, that those are probably peach orchards. But one thing for sure, if I see peaches on a tree, it doesn't take me long to figure out that that's a peach tree. I can figure that out. Or if I see apples on a tree, I can figure out that's an apple tree. Now, from where does that come? Where does that fruit come? Alright, well, I don't know. I'm not a botanist, I'm not a biologist, I'm not any kind of ist, I don't guess you might say. I'm not any of those. But I'm smart enough to know that somehow, though I certainly don't know how it does, but somehow that fruit is within that tree, and then later on that fruit comes from without of the tree. And there's fruit that's born on those trees, on that new growth, by the way, and there's a lesson there. New growth of those apple trees, peach trees, pear trees, whatever they may be, that's where you find the fruit. Alright. Now, and so it comes from within the tree. Now, over in, we have some fruit, but wait a minute. Look over in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. You're probably familiar with this, Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 and 23. And there it says, it gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And it reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is, the reason but there is because the three verses, I believe, before that, it gives the works of the flesh. And I will tell you, that's some of the most difficult reading in the Bible. When you read the works of the devil, murder, adultery, and all those other things, that's difficult reading. But he says now in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. All right, now, that is something that's within us. When we were born of the Spirit of God, the Spirit put the seeds of all these things within us. And now, we're able to manifest that in good works in our lives. Manifest love and all these other qualities that make up the fruit of the Spirit. We're able to manifest these qualities in our lives. Now, look, if you will, at the first three qualities there. Notice what they are. Love, joy, peace. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I don't believe that the peace and joy that's in the Holy Ghost is any different than the peace and joy that's here in the fruit of the Spirit. It's the same thing. And I think that's what he meant when he says, listen, the kingdom of God is within you. When we were born of the Spirit of God, at least the seeds of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost were put within us. We have those seeds within us. And we are to manifest those things in our lives. And so, now here's where, I'm sure you've heard this before also. We must enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I can't emphasize that enough. Yes, it is within us, but we must enter into the kingdom of God. Every one of us has a digestive system. It's within us, by the way. But it doesn't do us a whole lot of good if we don't eat anything. It's an amazing thing how the Lord put that within us. It takes the good and sends it to different parts of the body. Some of it stored and maybe directed to the cells. And I don't know all these details. And the bad that's within the food we eat, it gets rid of it. And so that's an amazing thing. We all have a digestive system that is, I suppose you might say, miraculous within itself. And yet at the same time, if we don't eat anything, it doesn't do us any good. We have something within us. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have the kingdom of God that is within us, that was put within us when we were born of the Spirit of God. But if we don't enter into those kingdoms, if we don't use those things that God has given us, then it doesn't do us any good. And so, brothers and sisters, we are it is within us. Don't ask me to fully explain that. I just know what the Scripture says. It is within us, and yet at the same time, we are to enter into that. We are to enter the blessings and the promises of that. And so that's what we're to do. We must enter into the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it says, they're confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Same thing as Romans 14:17, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And now, notice what he says. Confirming the souls of the disciples. And he was teaching them, not just anybody, not the Pharisees, not those that didn't believe in Jesus, but the disciples. The disciples of Jesus Christ. Not just the 12, by the way, but those wherever they went that gave the evidence that they were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. He exhorted them that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That was the disciples. Those that were following Jesus Christ. But they needed to enter the kingdom of God. Now, we don't have to necessarily enter through tribulation, but let me express it this way. If there is tribulation, we should be willing to press towards the mark of the high calling and be willing to enter into the kingdom of God in spite of trials, in spite of troubles, in spite of temptations, in spite of tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, thank God that in this day that we live, we don't have what they had in the world. They had the Jews, the pagans. The Romans thought they were atheists because they didn't have any temple or any visible God or anything like that. And so they're all against them, at least during a certain time. Now, but he said, in spite of that tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. But again, that was the disciples. And I remind you this, the Sermon on the Mount, the overall, the predominant lesson in the Sermon on the Mount is the kingdom of God. And it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, when his disciples came unto him, he opened his mouth and taught them, the disciples, saying, and he taught them, it says, unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, who was he talking to? He was speaking to his disciples that there's a possibility that even they, their righteousness might not exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says, if it doesn't, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But thank the Lord they did. Now, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what a blessing that is. What a liberty that is when we enter into the kingdom of heaven. A couple of verses of Scripture on liberty. Look with me, first of all, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. And it reads, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, is, there is liberty. That is, where we experience this joy in the Holy Ghost, there is liberty. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we find there, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And these are the blessings we have. There is liberty we have when we enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I remind you again, it's all about the King. And I remind you again, that joy in the Holy Ghost we experience is about Jesus Christ. Because as Jesus Himself said, when the Holy Ghost comes, when He is manifest, that is, He will testify of me. So Jesus is the joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, the kingdom is within us. And when we enter as we should, we are in the kingdom of God and experiencing the joys and blessings of it. And it's within us as that well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, it's like, I believe it's in the Old Testament, pastors came, they drank water out of broken cisterns. Now, cisterns were something that there was a stone wall made around it. And rainwater came in there and washed no telling what into those cisterns. And not only, but they were broken also. And whatever was in the ground would seep also into those cisterns. And that's the water that they drink. But normally they drink out of wells. And wells was really, I don't know that it was really a well as we know it as an open well. But most of them, I think, were really springs. And that's the water. And the water springing up. And so that's the water, one of the pure and clean water springing up within us. And refreshing our souls, like this type of water that I have here next to me refreshes our tongues and our throats and our bodies. And so that's the way that water does. The pure water of life refreshes our souls. Now, there are blessings in this kingdom. There are blessings in this kingdom. Listen, anytime we're faithful to the Lord, the Lord blesses our efforts. If we're faithful to the Lord, as we ought to be, the Lord blesses our efforts. Now, think of it in this way. What is the ultimate in any kingdom? The ultimate in any kingdom, now I'm talking about if there's a country and the king is a sovereign monarch over that nation, such as David and Solomon in those years, and Nebuchadnezzar and Darius and Cyrus and Persia and other kings, the ultimate in any of those kingdoms was to do something to please the king and then be honored by the king because you did something that pleased him. I remember a number of years ago, I had a great aunt. Now, she's my mother's father's sister. They're all with the Lord now. They're all passed away. But she was tight with her money as she could be. One of my uncles said that she was so tight she rubbed the buffaloes on the nickel slick. That's just how tight she was. Well, but now, Aunt Gwen, as tight as she was about spending things for herself. Then, I remember one time when it was some kind of get-together, and some family members were there, and she couldn't be there with us. She had to go somewhere else, but she said, take my credit card and go to this restaurant and do it upright. Now, the idea was that do it upright means to her that get whatever you want, you get it. You want tea instead of water? Get it. If you want dessert, get that. Whatever you want. If you want the most expensive item on the menu, get that. That is do it upright. That's what she meant. Get whatever you want and put it on my credit card. And she was that way. She was just that. Now, and the reason I said that was that there was a time during the Persian Empire. Ahasuerus was the king. Esther was his wife, the queen. All right, and so this man Haman. Ahasuerus, Persian king, found out that there was a man Mordecai found out there was conspiracy against him, and he told of that conspiracy, and it was found out true, and those men were put to death, and nothing ever happened. But in the night, he couldn't sleep. That is Ahasuerus, the king. And so he got him to bring the books, the scrolls, the records to him. And he read that. And it just so happened, sarcastic, just so happened that he read about what Mordecai did. And so he brought this man Haman in there. Now Haman was highly thought of by himself. And so he said, now what should be done to the man that the king should honor? And he thought, well, surely there's no one that he would want to honor as he would want me, want to honor me. And so he did as Aunt Gwen said. The things he says was, do it upright. And I don't remember all the details, but he said, bring the king's robe, one of the king's robes that he wears. Bring one of the king's crowns, if I remember this correct. Now, no one else ever wore that robe. No one else ever wore that crown. And the other thing was that, and let him ride on the king's horse. No one else ever rode on the king's horse. That was never done. And so the idea, do it upright. Now, I'm going to really be something. Well, obviously, most of you know, I suppose, he intended to honor Mordecai. But the idea was, this is do it upright. This is just for me. Now, listen, but the king said, Ahasuerus said, all right, I'll do that. And he honored Mordecai in that way. And he was able to ride the horse, wear the king's robe, wear the king's crown, and other things that were done. And I don't remember all the details there. But he was taken by Haman, that hated him, by the way, or led by him. And Haman told others to bow before him. Now, that's the idea. That's how a king can bless someone. Now, listen. The Lord Jesus Christ blesses us with better than that. I don't want to ride a horse. And people bow down to me. I don't want to wear a king's robe. I don't want to wear a king's crown and whatever else. I don't want any of that. But I tell you this, the Lord blesses us with something better than that. And I believe that the Lord, when we're faithful to Him and we do something that pleases the kings, that is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He blesses us again with something greater. And that's the felt presence of His Spirit, or His felt presence. And if we feel the felt presence of the Spirit of God, I don't know that that's anything different than the felt presence of Jesus. But anyway, we experience the felt presence of Jesus. And I believe that's the greatest joy we'll ever have, is to feel that Jesus is with us and to know that this Jesus is pleased with something that we've done. And so, brothers and sisters, there is something within us. And that which is within us, we can also enter into. That is the kingdom of God, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And when we enter that, when we serve the Lord in a faithful manner, enter that kingdom, well, that's one of the ways the Lord blesses us, I think, with the felt presence of the Spirit, to rejoice in Jesus Christ. We know we're sinners, but the joy in the Holy Ghost is that, listen, there's someone who died for us. We don't always find the joy in that as we would like. But when we're faithful to the Lord as we ought to, and none of us can ever be perfect, but when we're striving, let me put it that way, and emphasize that word, when we're striving to be faithful to the Lord, not that we won't end, And I think those that strive to be faithful to the Lord are more mindful of their the ways in which they fail, I suppose you might say. It's not the word that I want to get. The idea of the ways in which they fail. But the Lord is merciful. And the Lord blesses us with His felt presence. And so, God help us to enter into that kingdom, remembering that there are joys and blessings for us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.